I just thought that I wanted to tell us about the mine.
Well,
you know, I don't know about it until I get another lease on it. I'm working on it.
What was the name of the mine?
Robert Emmett.
Robert Emmett. And
Robert Emmett and the Granite, and they're both now under the same name as Robert Emmett.
Uh-huh.
The Granite claim, and there's a Granite claim and the Robert Emmett claim, and then we bought them both out, see.
Well, now, who was the original corporation stockholders? I thought that would be interesting.
Well, it's
Davis Brothers.
C.E. Davis and E.W. Davis are the ones in the books. And Susie Wynn and Dr. Irwin.
That's what I mean.
And Mrs. Ewan.
Who?
Mrs. Dobbins.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And who's been bought out and who remains in the...
What?
Who sold out and who bought their stock?
We bought Ed Davis's, Ethel Pinkerton's, and them, and the young girls, they bought out, Mrs. Young. You knew Dr. Young, it used to be in there, and we leased to them in 38, to Lillian Young, and then somebody, when they pooped out, and they didn't do nothing, and we terminated the lease, and somebody by the name of Boomaster or something, and bought out Susie Wynn, and then this Young, he bought out this Boomaster, and that's the way they got there. And then they bought out Mrs. Dobbins.
Yeah.
And then we divided it 50-50.
Then is there...
But I don't know. You might be interested in it somewhere or other, if it ever pays my...
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know either.
Only thing was just...
I haven't got very much record of any of that stuff.
Just a matter of the Davis Brothers, I don't...
Well, Davis Brothers I know was in on the ranch, and they was in on the flour mill, and they was in on the general merchandise store down there.
Yeah. Well,
right in Davis Brothers, you know, was start with.
Do you own all the mine now, or is there...
We own 50% of it.
Huh?
We own 50%, and the young girls own 50%.
I see. Well, that's fine.
And we got a manager, his name is Maxwell.
Uh-huh. I know you've always paid all the taxes. I just wondering.
Yeah, we pay. I got the... That's one thing I have got. I got the receipt for the taxes for about 50 years.
Yeah. I read an article the other day about Wilbur Davis, and it said that he was one of the heavy stockholders in the Last Chance Mine, and I never knew that before.
Wilbur?
Wilbur, yes.
He might have been.
Said he lost a lot of money in the Last Chance Mine.
Was that old Wilbur or young Wilbur?
Yes, old Wilbur.
Old Wilbur had a claim on a mine on Elk Creek.
Yeah.
He had a mill.
Mm-hmm.
And this corporation bought that mill from him.
I see.
And the water rights and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I had the deed for it, but I don't know. Somebody stole most of my stuff, but I got copies of it. I think I'll give most of them to Maxwell.
And I thought it was kind of interesting because... I had never heard much about Wilbur. He always said he was minors, both senior and junior Wilbur.
He pops up every once in a while on some of that Elk Creek stuff and that mining stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a letter from young Wilbur I didn't have it. Richard got it. And it was one from my dad.
Yeah.
And Wilbur was, got us 3 or 4 pages.
When I went to Cornucopia in 1916, Ted Chambers was a geologist he was a fraternity brother, and he was a geologist up there. for the Last Chance Mine. And he took me over from the mill in the bucket over to the mine. And I never realized then that Wilbur Davis was interested in that until I read this article.
Well, I never knew that he was interested in the Last Chance either.
I never knew it before. I just thought I'd...
Of course, he was... The old Wilbur was... I know he's quite a... he's always a mining. I know over there, when young Wilbur had lived there where Marion used to live, why they had a, they had a big glass case there. It was all full of rocks from all over the over the Northwest. Mm-hmm. He had some out of the Robert Emmett and the Last Chance and Nevada and Bourne and Sumter and all that country.
Sure. Well, it's quite interesting, sure. I always had in my mind this, when Dad told me about somebody taking an option on the mine and paying $10,000 on it. who, do you know who that was? Or they never did anything about it, did they?
Well, the only ones that they had an option to buy it was Lully and Young when they leased it.
Oh.
1938.
Oh, that's who it was.
Lily and Young. Lily was a Passage's son-in-law.
Yeah.
And Young was a dentist.
I see. Well, that's fine. I had it in my mind. I also.
And they had an option in that contract that they could buy it for so much money if they wanted to, but they never did. They never did. Franklin Roosevelt, he stopped all the mining at that time.
Yeah.
And they didn't do nothing. And then old Saban was our lawyer, and we dissolved partnership with him.
Oh, you have any idea when they bought it, when they went into the mining? When did your dad start doing this?
Our dad?
Yeah.
Well, he was there in 1885 when they patented it.
I see. Well, that's what I was.
He was there and they patented it in 1885.
Mm-hmm.
The Robert Emmett and granted above that, I don't know. W.T. Wright, the guy named Moreland, owned a little percentage, five sixteenths or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then this corporation bought them out. They was in on this Robert Emmett too. They bought them out in 1900 and formed the corporation. And in 1901 they bought their interest out in the left in the granite. And the granite joined right on the Last Chance.
Mm-hmm.
And Emmett, it joins on the Last Chance, the corner and down in the Red Jacket. Union Companion.
As I remember, when I went with Ted, we went in the Last Chance and went down the mine shaft and down into a hole, and now he says you're down in the Robert Emmett, in your mine territory.
Well, someplace on that around that tunnel, they had 34 miles a tunnel, and someplace the Robert Emmett come right off, and they dug in 18 or 20 feet over the line onto us at one time.
I thought about the Rainbow Mine. Now, Ted said something about that, and he says, these things all go in different directions. Had me going all around through the mountain there, and he said, now we're in another mine. And I think
they had the two tunnels, you know, the Clark Tunnel and the Colton Tunnel.
Yeah, I see.
And now this, his partner down in California, they say that somebody has found another tunnel.
Uh-huh.
And I never heard of a third tunnel except one that come off of the White Swan, where they come in like this into us and took about 200 feet each way on a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tunnel there.
Yeah.
But I don't know where that third tunnel would be unless it's that. I don't know who worked that. That was a white swan, and it was right between the Union Companion and the Last Chance. See, the Union Companion come up this way, and then this white swan was in here, and then the Last Chance is down under across that canyon. Mm-hmm. You rode across the tramway. I never.
Do you think they're gonna do something? Do you think they're?
Well, the vice president was down there, and we've been bickering with him now for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Fellow named Schleicher, Robert Schleicher, and he was down there yesterday. He came down and talked to me yesterday at the hotel. He said, "We want to lease it. They got all that leases on all them, that other property that Last Chance had, the Cornucopia Gold Mine had."
Well, it looks like they might do something then.
And he told me, he says, we'd sure like to lease it from it.
Well, that's and good.
And then he wanted to know, and I said, well, anything that you and Mr. Maxwell are doing, he's our manager now, is Maxwell, and anything that they do, Schleicher and Maxwell, if it's reasonable, it's okay with me. And he said, well, I'll contact Mr. Maxwell again. Uh-huh. So I might hear from him any time. And I talked to Maxwell yesterday, and he said, I'm sure glad that you talked to him. Well, he's the vice president of a big outfit that this is just a subsidy of some big mining outfit down in New Mexico.
There's no way they can.
They got lots of money, millions of dollars.
Yeah. You've paid taxes on that all these years. You no way they can beat you out of it, is there?
I hope not.
Yeah. Well, I thought.
But then I've lost a lot of things over there that somebody's picked it out when I was gone. Uh-huh. Somebody had access to the news where it is. I think I know who it is.
That's too bad.
And I'm having a little trouble with these nieces down there in California. They cleaned me out of some stuff the other day when they was here.
Mm-hmm. That's too bad.
Of course, most of that stuff we've made duplicates of, copies of it. Everything I've had, I sent to Maxwell, mm-hmm. or give to him when he was here. Mm-hmm.
Fine. Well,
it's either nothing or pretty big. Mm-hmm. As hell, when we had that disposition in Baker there last January, been almost a year, 24th of January, I think it was. And there was a fellow named Fred Quimby, and he was a geologist and mineralogist and stuff from Baker, and he'd worked up there on this thing. And he claimed that that was worth $200 million. I got the disposition on that. And this Mulhall that was in on there, one of the instigators of when Ham Ford and them leased it from us, he's always said there's sure a lot of gold in it. Well, they dug in there, but they went in 18 feet. That's all they did do last year. And we quit them in August. We terminated with them. And this Grimby, he swore on all oath up there at Baker that they'd taken out $900,000 worth of gold. But they got it, they never done nothing with it. They've never, some of us in Salt Lake and some in Ogden and some in old Hans' garage over here, and I don't know who all has gotten. Dr. Dean at Plymouth Hall. They all got a blue ball full of some pretty good stuff. Of course, I think they exaggerated it a little.
Well, I want you to tell me about the Bensons and the raising that cavalry horses, and was that one of their first endeavors in Union, was raising horses and selling cavalry horses?
Anybody that had a horse could bring it in when the colonel, usually a colonel would come here, and he'd inspect them, but anybody was welcome to bring some horses in too.
Uh-huh.
Oh God, I think sometimes they sold maybe 100 head of horses down there.
That was what I was wondering, how many every year.
Well, Benson didn't have that many, but they'd buy horses.
Buy them, yeah.
They raised some, but then they'd buy them just for, and then when they got enough, they'd contact the government, and then the government would come and have an inspection. I don't know how many inspections they had.
I only went to
one there and one off the Stockfield grounds. After that, it wasn't Benson's then.
What kind of horses do you think they were? Were they thoroughbreds or?
Well, the thoroughbreds, Merton brought more money than any of the rest of them.
I see.
But they was mostly at that time, standards or Morgans and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And then mixed with thoroughbreds. But they paid a little, they paid a bonus for a thoroughbred horse. I think up to maybe paid $200 for a good horse that they liked, and then maybe $250 for a thoroughbred, see? But they had to be the right color.
Yeah, that's right.
The right shape,
They had to be a bay or a brown or something like that.
Browns and sorrels and bays.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't even look at a white horse or a pinto or Appaloosie.
Uh-huh.
Although, George Washington, and you see a picture of George Washington, when he crossed the Delaware, he was on a white horse.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
But the government wouldn't buy one. They had to be so high.
Yeah.
So many hands, 15 or something.
I think it was about 15 hands.
Yeah.
They run from 15 to 17, I believe.
Yeah.
Well,
but they would, like down there at Miller's, I was just a kid in knee pants. That's just like that picture I showed Elmer of Alec Jones and George and all of them and me sitting on the fence and watching them. And that was down there where Odin had his main ranch.
Yeah.
And they'd, the colonel would get there and then they'd ride a horse down towards the railroad track and walk, and then they'd trot and then they'd run him. And then when they come back, if they liked the color and the way he's acting, they'd put the stick on him and measure him.
How much?
And they'd brand him with a U.S. brand.
How far did they have to go with the breaking of them?
They just ride them down there maybe 100 yards or so.
Be hauler broke and be able to ride
them. They was hauler broke and out of the ball, some of them had bucked all the way down there. Uh-huh. They didn't give a damn about that.
Uh-huh.
If they had the right confirmation and everything, they'd buy a horse that bucked the guy off like John Spain.
Yeah. Who used to have them break them?
Who used to ride them?
Yeah.
Well,
both John Spain and...
The main ones I remember was four Spain boys.
Mm-hmm.
John and Fred, Arch and Charlie, and Chase Prescott, a guy named Chase Prescott, he used to have a claim up there right next to Spain's at the Telecasas,
Yeah.
And a fellow named Worsham, he used to live down there right next to my grandmother's.
Yeah.
And he'd try to ride him, but Hank McGrath.
Hank, yeah.
And then there was a couple of guys that would follow along there with Guy Church and Frenchy Bassett.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't do any riding of the horses down when they was inspecting them, but then there was always And this bunch of guys was always riding around while Guy Church and Fetchy Bassett was always at the tail end of the...
I always remember that every time we'd go down there, why, there was horses and then several times the Indians came and sold them gloves and traded with them, and I guess they evidently Dick must have traded them hides for gloves. And I know that Dick bought me a pair of my first pair of buckskin gloves that I ever had.
Yeah.
And you and I happened to go down there, and I told Dick I'd sure like
them. He must have got them from the Indians, didn't he?
And he got them and found a pair that fit me, and that was my first pair of gloves. It had gauntlets and cloth inside. And I always remembered that. Yeah.
Then, yeah, we used to go up there when the Indians would come here in the summer, you know.
Yeah.
Fishing. Well, once Dick and I, well, I think we each had a pin of horse. And we rode into Ed Miles' place, and there was a whole bunch of them, the Thompsons, and I don't know, Kaiser's, and a bunch of them. And they wouldn't hardly talk to us. We was on them horses. And Dick said, oh, we'll go back the next day, and we got on some on a braise and sorrels or something. Yeah, we went in there and had the Indian just slopped around us. They wouldn't. Well, Dick was wanting to buy them for cavalry. That was just some of my first year with them. Mm-hmm. That's before I took it over.
Oh,
no, it was a regular roundup down there, though, when some of them horses that would start, they'd saddle them up, you know, just like they used to in Pendleton in the arena, and ear them down until a guy'd get on them and turn them loose down the road.
That's right.
They'd ride them until they quit bucking, and then they'd...
Do you remember when that... what year the Benson brothers bought the ranch at Hot Lake?
1913.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. That's the year that Sam and Alec Jones, they went down to California. You know, there was a Sam Benson there at Los Angeles, a cousin. And they stayed there with him, and then they went to Mexico, went down, Sam and Alec went down, and I don't think Dick was there.
Now they bought that from...
And they was figuring on buying a ranch in Mexico, and starting a cattle ranch in Mexico, and they come back from there, and then they went down, and I think that was 1913, and they bought that from old Cromwell.
From the beet company?
No, they bought it first from Cromwell.
Cromwell?
Old Dr. Cromwell. Oh. He had 80 acres, and that was the first they had. That was that's all the land they had there at one time down there. Because they had a lot of land rented from where the experiment station is. The big barn, all the way down to the railroad track. They had that rented at that time, because I hayed there one year, and then the next year I went with you, and we hayed up to North Potter and raked hay. But that year, at that 80 acres, it was between the townie and the part that the Amalgamated Sugar Company had, see. And then after that, well, then they bought the sugar company out and had that Benson part.
You remember what year that was?
It wasn't very long after.
About
I don't know what year. I don't know what year it was. I could look it up on the old deeds. I got all them old deeds. But.
Mm-hmm. Well, besides your dad's 80 acres there, you say they owned the property on down south of there, where the big barn is.
No, they just rented it.
Oh, they rented it. Who? You don't know who owned that?
Jim Hudson. I think Jim Hudson at one time owned it.
Oh, yes.
Old Jim, and he sold it to the state.
And that's where we...
Jim, he had all that goes down there, and that's what Little Bill got part of it there.
I see.
And the state bought it from an asylum. And that part there, where the house is and the big barn.
Yeah.
And
we used to take cows down there to pasture, and there was quite a little lake there. We used to swim there.
I was trying to think of them guys' name that lived right on the corner. They had a land, and then they went up to Wingville and took up some land. And then our dad had 80 acres down the track. Mm-hmm. You know where you cross the track and make a turn there? And the state got that from him, but he never got any money for it.
I see.
And old Jim Hudson, he sued the state for 10 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he ever got all his money. Warren. The Warrens. You remember the Warrens. Charlie Warren. And he had a ranch out there on Muddy Creek someplace.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what they left there and sold that to the state. That's right on the corner.
I see.
Where the... Just across from the sawmill.
Uh-huh.
I think they had 80 acres in there, and the rest of it was Jim Hudson's and 80 acres that our dad had down there. And Jim Hudson had all the rest of it.
I went down to...
Aunt Mary, you know, she had that part where the sawmill is now.
Mm-hmm.
Too.
You said you were born there in that house on the Experiment Station 80 there. I went down to Experiment Station and tried to find a picture of the old house, but I haven't been able to find one. And you haven't either, have you?
No.
You don't?
Oh, Alton was born there.
Huh?
Alton was born there. Alton was born in that house down there.
Oh, is that right?
And they had a little, I don't know what it was, a little flour mill of some kind, maybe just grind up grits and make grits or something.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy was working there, and he tipped the lantern over and it burnt down.
I see.
But Alton was born there in 1887 or 88. Down there, I was born in this house over here.
Well, you were born over here. I thought you said that you were born down there.
No, Alton was.
Alton was.
And then they moved up someplace, about where the musicians are living there now, someplace.
Mm-hmm.
There, and then the musicians moved that house in from someplace else when they got that place where Dorothy and them live now in Eunice.
Your house is right there on the corner by the sawmill, wasn't it? By the railroad track?
Someplace there, I don't know where it was.
Well, as I remember, it was right on that high knoll there.
Nick lived down there.
There used to be a stone cellar there. And was for years before they...
Yeah, that's where the Warrens were.
Uh-huh. That's where Warren lived, huh?
Yeah. That was on the Warren part of it.
Oh, I see.
Or that old stone cellar, maybe it's still part of it there. I don't know. It went up probably as far as where the main office building is, and then down west. And then our dad joined on to them on that end.
Uh-huh.
But I know he told me several times about old Jim Hudson was suing them for the state. They bought it instead of using it for asylum there, you know, they... get the asylum over to Panama.
Oh, well, it does on my mind. What year did the Benson step out and you and Richard form the Davis Cattle Company?
What year did we start out?
What year did the Benson turn it over to you?
1924.
And that was the Davis Cattle Company then?
Well, it wasn't the Davis Cattle Company then. That was when they turned it over to me.
Yeah.
I leased it from them, and then in 1930, Richard graduated from college there in California, and he come up.
Uh-huh.
But during that time, he used to come up every summer and work while he was going to college, see?
Yeah.
Then in 1930, well, he came up there, and then just after that, we formed the Davis Cattle Company, but we didn't incorporate until 1960.
Uh-huh.
We just had a partnership.
And you sold out in 1960 then?
66 we sold out.
66?
66 and 67.
Anyway, the last roundup was in 67, huh?
Well, some of it we sold there in 67. Some of the... Mm-hmm. Well, Joe Lux bought us out there on the main park in 66. Mm-hmm. Down there. And then this timber and stuff, we sold that in 67 to Boise Cascade.
Yeah. Well,
But we didn't stay incorporated only 6 years. It didn't pay.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was only the Richard and me, and we didn't have enough. It didn't pay to be incorporated. We didn't have enough stockholders to take up the tax. You know, see, we had Carl Helm. He had to have three members, and Carl Helm over there, the lawyer. He was the third member of our corporation.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't have no interest in it. But he was a member of the corporation. I was president and secretary, and Richard was vice president and treasurer.
But Sam died before Dick, didn't he?
Yeah, quite a while.
Do you remember what year it was?
I got it down over there.
Oh, well, don't make any difference. Then Dick passed away when? Remember that?
Dick passed away.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. They'd been out of the business for quite a while.
I was trying to think of that. But I wouldn't say for sure right now.
Mm-hmm.
George died in 34 or 36. Sam died in, quite a while after that, maybe 40-something, and Dick, he 51.
Dick, 51?
I think he died in 51, and that's when we formed the Betts and Reynolds and the Chaffinbrick Land Company, and we had the Davis Cattle Company, too. I think it was 51.
You think Sam was...
I think our mother died about 49.
Yeah, but
I got it down for sure over there if you want it.
Well, we got all that other dope in there, but
it ought to be in some of that stuff there that...
Yeah.
That's when they was born and when they died.
Yeah, there probably is something there. I'm not too good at reading here lately, and I can't keep
track. Well, I can't keep track of all of them, or you know, it's we got one of the Bensons out there someplace, but I don't know where he's buried.
Mm-hmm.
His name is he was between George and Dick.
No.
Yeah, George and Dick. His name was Willie.
I guess I didn't know him.
I never saw him. He only lived a year or two.
Yeah, I see.
I don't know. He's got to be buried out there someplace, but I don't know just where. If Tex Knight was still here, he'd find it for me. I never thought of them. Tex was running, maybe Vickers could find it. But Tony Smith didn't have much of a record of that, you know.
What about Stock Show?
What about it?
What would you like to say about Stock Show?
God, I don't know. I've worked out there different things for about 50 years.
Yeah.
But about the time we was going to college down to Oregon State, you know, I'd get back up here, and then Jim Jones and I remember that, but we used to, we'd go through the grounds before the show started, after, just before we start putting on the rodeo, you know, and we'd collect a dollar for anybody that's in the grounds.
Yeah.
Who didn't have a pass. Then we'd take tickets up at the gate, that back gate on that back street that comes in, you know, where they drive the cars in.
Yeah.
Well, we used to, well, they used to let people park over there, you know.
That's right.
Well, hell, Jim and I have taken in over $300 a piece there in a day. Just about as much as they've taken in at the gate. Of course, I think the admission then was a dollar. I'm pretty sure that we pick up a dollar from them. We didn't stamp them or give them a ticket or nothing. We just had to use it in our head, and if they said, "You already got me," well, you'd go on.
Yeah.
And then after that, then I got mixed up with Louis Biber. He was the first one I got mixed up with there in the talk show. Mm-hmm. On the rodeo part.
Yeah. You worked on the rodeo for 50 years, huh?
Pretty close. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was with Louis for several years, and then when he moved away, Lee Chenault had it. Mm-hmm. He was the chairman. I worked with Lee Chenault there for several years. That was the time Annie Oakey came up here and talked. We had it then, you know.
The Stock Show Association always has owned that ground, haven't they? You don't know who that was?
No, they leased it for a long time.
Oh, from who?
From at Swackhammer Estate.
Oh, Swackhammer Estate.
Yeah, what was that guy's name? Right now. He's Swackhammer, yeah, the Dr. Swackhammer. He was the old Swackhammer, old S.O.'s kid.
They used to have a guy up
yeah.
there.
Yeah, they had that place. He had the place that Dick had there, that barn and stuff.
I didn't know that this way.
And he had the old man had all that. He had the well, he had this part here down to he had the big house there, you know.
Yeah.
Old man Swackhammer. And Dr. Swackhammer built that, I think he built that house that Dick bought there, I don't know who lives in it now.
Is it Dr. Fly or Swackhammer built that, and he had a little dairy there.
I can remember
when they had the dairy house there and upstairs where
the upstairs there was a guy lived there.
Yeah.
At one time he shot himself.
Milked the cows and did that. Well, that's
because I remember we only lived about two blocks away, and the damnedest screaming you ever heard in your life. And that's when he shot himself, and his wife went in hysterics.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what his name was, but they milked some cows or something there then.
Yeah, I remember.
The bottom part was a kind of a, they had a cream separator and some stuff in there.
Uh-huh.
And he lives on the upper part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, they had milk, and they delivered milk, you know, and cream. And that was pretty early in my...
Well, I wasn't too old either.
Right.
That's just about the time you moved down here from
your
father.
Yeah, that's pretty early. About 1903. That's when we moved down. So it was after. I remember when they built.
Edith Fye, you know, and Mark Fye, they lived in that big house there for a long time.
Oh, yes. Mulholland.
Mulholland.
Mulholland House over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mulholland had that ranch up the Cat Brick too, you know.
That went on up there before they opened the road through there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the Roy Baker's got there now.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, I forgot about Mulholland. He must have married a Fly, didn't he, or a Wright?
I thought Mulholland married a Swackhammer, but I...
Maybe it was.
I think that's where they got
hooked. Maybe it was, the Swackhammer.
They got hooked up there.
Yeah. Of course, I didn't know them, any of them Slackhammers, except they was quite a lot older than I was.
One of them married the old Dell girl that lived over back of us, you know, there. Back over here, back of old C. Wild there.
But they was quite a lot of them, the Mulholland and the Lights and the Slackhammers was just like they are down, used to be in Cole. They was all married into each other.
Yeah. Well.
And Mulholland, he had some land up the other side of Telecastle someplace too.
Yeah, that. Where the highway cut through there, yeah. That was the Mulholland field. They had.
I never did know him or nothing. I just can't think of what he looked like.
Well, kind of fat and kind of mean. We used to ride his sheep, you know. And
yeah.
He didn't like that. I don't blame him for not liking that.
Well, I think Schoonover, he might have been mixed up in that too, you know, old Schoonover. And
yeah.
And Thompson.
Mulholland. Yeah.
They was old timers here, you know.
Yeah.
Hell, right here where we're sitting now, old Thompson used to have a sawmill, yeah. A planing mill. Because yeah. I used to cut through here and through the, coming from there going downtown, I'd cut through here.
Well, the old Jerry Thompson mill, you see, was right where the service station is. I can remember when we used to go over there and watch Thompson make boxes and different things.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd buy that. I know that a long time ago.
Hell, he had his sawmill there. This was lumber was piled back in here, and he furnished all the lumber to build the houses around here. Him and that Hirsch that used to be down there. Harold Hirsch.
That house, this part of the house is right on where the lumber yard was.
I think so. Pretty close.
Littler built the first house here out of that lumber. Some of it is as good as
you remember. All that lumber, I think, built that house that we had over there.
Yeah.
Most of the houses around here, except the ones made out of brick, and old Hunter, he made them.
Yeah.
Hunter made them bricks, you know, down there by the cemetery.
Yeah.
All that red dirt, there's that hill, you know, it's got that red dirt on it.
Yeah.
That's burnt iron. That's what it is. Yeah, that was pretty good old days. Well, you knew this Harold Hirsch, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they... He had a sawmill down there about where Leo Morrill someplace down in there.
Yeah, the...
And he made this
Joke, Pete Joke bought that ground.
Yes, it's right in there about where Pete Joke is.
No, the boys live there now.
He used to make this fancy bric-a-brac and stuff that these houses got around here. You know, a lot of them got this curlicue stuff.
Yeah.
That was the style then.
Yeah,
old Wilbur Davis made all them iron fences by hand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they ever done with them, like over here at the old White place. And
I don't know what happened to them.
Abe Eaton's place.
Yeah.
But they'd be antiques now. That'd be quite a fence. I'd never tear a fence out like that.
I used to watch Wilbur Davis when he was a making. I used to go over there and watch him.
When he lived down there.
Yeah,
that shop right on the corner there.
Yeah. I used to go down and watch him forge that out, you know.
Yeah.
Eat the iron.
Yeah, I watched him. I used to watch him.
That must have been after he had to quit the mining business then.
It was.
The way he made a living, I guess, later.
It was after he quit the mining. That was up in the 1900s.
Wow.
He was doing most of his mining up there in the late 1800s, you know.
No. Well?
Yeah, it was...
Can't think of anything more to talk about.
Well, don't have any. I don't know this. Well, you said something about the stock show, and this Dr. Schreckhammer, he owned that stock show grounds, and we leased it for years.
I see that.
Stock show leased it, then we finally bought it.
And his wife was the one who used to drive the trotting horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a... She was a... I'll see.
Well, I just said it a minute ago there.
He might have been the daughter. I don't know. Lived there with somebody had a big house there where the hotel is.
Madeline Hill?
Huh?
Madeline Hill lived there.
Yeah, Madeline Hill.
She married Wright, didn't she?
She married Irvin Wright.
Yeah.
But there was an old lady Thompson lived right back of there, and she, I don't know who.
Well, I can't think of it right now, but I should know because she was...
Madeline Hill there, her dad, I know he homesteaded down around, all the way down around Denial or someplace, almost the Nevada line down in there. Mm-hmm. And somebody... He was running cattle and then some sheep man, and they got in a row about the water and they killed him. Somebody killed him.
I've forgotten about that.
Well, you're...